Will you bow with me in prayer? Most gracious God, we come to you on this Easter morning, celebrating that the tomb is empty, that Christ is risen, and that we have a hope that we didn't have before. And so we pray, God, that in this time, as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, that your Spirit would stir our hearts and move among us, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, in Greek mythology, there's a story of a young girl named Pandora. And Pandora is very curious by nature. And contained within a box are all of the chaos and problems of the world contained. And Pandora was curious about this, and she opened the box and released them into the world. And once released, they could never be recaptured and put back and sealed up in that box. In our world today, we talk about those things that escape, those ideas, those thoughts that once they're out there, there's no taking them back, there's no returning them to where they were. We use the term now of a paradigm shift. It's a term that was first coined in 1962 by Thomas Kuhn in a book titled The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. And he talked about a paradigm shift being when our basic understanding about the principles and the guiding forces behind a field or a discipline are changed by a discovery or an invention that forever revolutionized things, and that there's no going back from those. And we could trace a number of those throughout history. An example would be the revelation and the discovery that the earth isn't flat, but rather that it's round. And suddenly people's idea of traveling from one place and sailing across oceans took on a different understanding from what it had once been. The invention and discovery of penicillin and the creation of antibiotics forever changed medicine and how people are treated. And we could name any number of those changes. And it seems that with technology, those changes come faster and faster. Curtis was sharing with me this morning that last night he was watching a video on VHS. It was one that he'd found in a cabinet here. It was still wrapped in the cellophane, a brand new VHS tape. But as we were talking about it, he said that he'd heard that last year, the last company that was manufacturing VHS players went out of business and ceased manufacturing VHS players. Now, I was probably my daughter Anna, who's 10, I was probably about her age when we got our first VCR. And I imagine that another 30 years from now, kids won't know what a VCR is unless they see one in a museum. That our technology has changed to the point where you don't even have to have a disc or anything. You can just load it on your tablet or your computer, and you don't need to have something to put in and play. So the world continues to change in amazing and startling and sometimes frightening ways. Sometimes these changes that come are good. Sometimes we're not sure what to think of them. Alfred Nobel, who the Nobel Peace Prize is named for, earned his fame by inventing dynamite. He thought that he would revolutionize how they could do mining and road work and construction and excavating because of his development of dynamite. And when he saw how many took his invention and thought of all of the violent ways it could be used in warfare, he took the wealth that he had earned from inventing dynamite to develop the Peace Prize, because that had never been his intention. So paradigm shifts come, and they change a fundamental understanding. And these sometimes are gradual things, but once we have it, once that Pandora's box is open, once that new idea or understanding is out there, there's no going back. But yet, when the world changes, when those new ideas come, we do still have to do something differently. We can believe that the world is round and not flat, but if we don't change how we sail and navigate, it might as well have not happened. We can believe that antibiotics and penicillin are effective in treating infections, but unless we actually take them, they won't do us any good. When a paradigm shift comes, it needs to be embraced. Now, quite often paradigm shifts deal with scientific and other fields of study, but the empty tomb is probably the greatest paradigm shift that has happened in this world. Because up until that point, even though Jesus had come and said, I'm going to die and I'll come back, I'm offering you a new way of living, I'm offering you a new way of being God's children, I'm not sure that anyone was completely convinced. We find in the gospel reading this morning in Matthew 28, the women going to the tomb on the first day of the week. They'd had to wait till after the Sabbath because their custom was that you weren't to have contact with a dead body on that holy day. So they waited till the first day of the week. And we're told that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. They went with the expectation that the events of Good Friday were still true. That Jesus had died on a cross, that his body had been taken down and placed in that sealed tomb. In Matthew's account, we're told that a guard was set to make sure that someone didn't come along and steal his body away during the night. But they went expecting that death had had the final word. But when they arrived, the paradigm shifted in a very dramatic way. We're told that the earth shook, that there was an earthquake, and that an angel descended like a bolt of lightning and was there and rolled back the tomb. We get the impression that this must have been a rather imposing angel, because it says that he rolled back this stone that was sealing the tomb and then sat on it. The guards shook and became like dead men, we're told. The angel said to the women, that classic angel phrase, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's been raised. And with those words, the paradigm shifted, the world shifted, everything shifted and was forever changed. No longer did death have the final word. No longer did sin have power and dominion over all of God's people. No longer was the brokenness of the world the status quo. All of that changed when the stone was rolled away and the tomb was found to be empty. The women go and they hear this message that Jesus is risen, and they're given a job. They're given a commission. They become the first evangelists, the first bearers of the good news that Jesus is risen, that the tomb is empty, and all of those promises that Jesus was talking about are true. And they're sent to go and tell the others. Now, I love the way that the women are described in verse 8. It says, so they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy, I don't think that we think of those being something that we hold at the same time. As I was thinking about those words, fear and joy, I was trying to think of a way to combine those like they do celebrity names like, I don't know, all those celebrity couples where they smash their names together. So I was thinking, okay, fear and great joy, do we go with foy or jeer? Neither of them has a ring to it, do they? But fear and joy together at the same time. And as I thought about what are those times, what are those moments in life where we experience that great joy and fear simultaneously, it made me think of riding a roller coaster at Kings Island or Cedar Point. And it made me think that, you know what? What the empty tomb, what the resurrection should help us to experience, should cause us to experience, is exhilaration. That discovery that, wow, I'm alive. Excuse me. I'm alive in a way that I've never been alive before. All because of Jesus Christ. Do we have any water bottles left back here? All right, thank you. Of all the Sundays, not to come prepared. The empty tomb opens the door and makes possible for us a life like we've never known. A life that is one in which the events of Good Friday, where human pride and greed and anger and violence dominate, where death seems to have the upper hand and the final victory. A world where all of those symptoms of our sin and brokenness predominate. The empty tomb shifts the paradigm and says, no, that's not how it is. But for us to experience the hope and the joy of Easter, we need to allow ourselves to be changed by the empty tomb. We need to allow ourselves to be changed in the way that we think about and look at the world around us. Because we don't have to look very far out the doors of the church or even in our own midst to see that there are still people that are sick and hurting. That there are those who still lose loved ones. That relationships are broken. And we've got a world of violence around us. But the paradigm did shift. Because those things do not have the final word. Those things do not have the final say. Just as these women were told to go and tell, we too are called upon to go and tell about Jesus. About Jesus who died and rose again. And so when we come together this morning, and we hear those words, Christ is risen. We're not talking about a historic event that happened 2,000 years ago. We're talking about the fact that Jesus is risen and it matters here and now. This morning and tomorrow and the next, Jesus is risen. And we don't need to fear. We don't need to allow the brokenness of this world to determine our fate or our future, because God has already done that through the empty tomb. Jesus was raised to new life, and in doing so, we were raised to new life when we cling to Him. When we not only believe, but follow and put this change that God has wrought in this world to work in our lives. God forever changed the world when Jesus rose again. And God desires that you and I would be forever changed as well. And that through us, Jesus' followers, His disciples in this world, God can and will continue to change and redeem and bring about His plan and purposes for all of creation. That brokenness, that sin, that sickness, that hurt, that violence in this world, because of the empty tomb, you are changed people. And God is calling upon you to go forth into this world and to be the change that makes this world more like the kingdom that God had in mind. May you be an Easter people. May you experience resurrection and new life this day and every day forward. Because it's not about just one Easter. It's about God changing the world each and every day, each and every moment, each and every person. Amen.